I'm going to share with you a little word that God gave me. And starting in January, I'm going to do 40 days of hope and joy. Now, I've been studying on it for about the last 6 weeks, and I'm overloading on joy juice. I mean, just getting ready for it, I'm getting intoxicated by this joy of the Lord, okay? So you all better get ready. Now, if you're not familiar with it, I post on my joy and hope thoughts by Lewis Kayeton on Facebook every morning. So like me on Facebook, Joy Hope Thoughts by Lou Kayeton, and you can receive them every day. Also, you know what else I'm doing? I'm texting everybody every day. Anybody get any texts from me this week? A few of you did. All right. And I'm emailing as well a thought. Now, if I'm posting on Facebook, if I'm texting you and I'm emailing you, you're going, geez, this guy's overloading me. I don't have to go to church on Sunday. I already heard it from him three times this week. Well, there's one more. Nightly, I'm broadcasting live on Periscope. Now, if you don't know what Periscope is, download the app, Periscope. It's with Twitter. You can find me at Lewis F. Kayeton on Twitter. I also tweet every day. So I tweet. I do two Facebook posts. I text and I email and I Periscope every day. That's 6 times you can hear from me. Yay. So anyway, check that out. I would love for you to be a part of it. I usually only talk about three to four or five minutes, just an encouraging word based on what I post in the morning. And I'd love to have you part of that. Now, if you don't have the text messages coming to you or the email messages, you've got to go to our website and request our database. What is it called? Request something. It's CCB, or I think you request a profile, and then we'll send it to you, and then you fill it all out. But make sure when you fill it out, you mark on there, do you want to receive text messages? Don't click on the no box. I will read it and know you didn't want me to text you. So you click on the text box, and then you'll get texts from me as well. Last night, about 9 o'clock, I sent out 2,700 emails. Isn't that great? I just typed one and went, twing, and it went out to 2,700 people. So it's pretty exciting. Will you do that and get your profile up there? All right. All right, let's go to the Word of God this morning. How many are excited that it's snowing outside? I got to tell you, out there in the first service, it was sunny. And it was sunshine and blue skies. And the further I came east, ooh, y'all like snow out here, huh? Okay, Romans chapter 6 and verse 4. Look at somebody and say, I am thankful for Jesus. Amen. I am thankful for Jesus. Romans chapter 6 and verse 4. Here's what it reads. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death. Now, before I read the rest of that, let me just tell you, you only bury dead people. Right? So if we were buried with Christ through baptism into death, what does that mean? We died. That's exactly what it means. That just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Now here's an interesting thought about that scripture. Jesus was crucified, he died, went into the grave. That's what the Bible said. On the third day, God raised him from the dead. But did you know that God, the Father, did not raise Jesus from the dead by the Holy Spirit until the Father, all of heaven, was satisfied that our sins' debt was paid? Right? Jesus was not raised until the Father said, it's paid in full. You and I will not be raised either into newness of life until paid in full is stamped on our soul. You and I need to have the provision of sins remission through the precious life blood of Jesus Christ. What can wash away my sin? Come on. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You see, when you and I come to Christ and washed by the blood of the Lamb, we are raised in the newness of life. And the old man is gone. He is gone. You only bury dead people. Now, Jesus joined us in our death so that we can join him in his life. You and I have to remember, when you get up in the morning, you are in God's life. You are experiencing Zoe. The other day I met somebody and they said, talked about their dog, and we said, what's the name of your dog? And they said, Zoe. I went, Zoe or Zoe? Zoe. I said, ooh, that's new life in God. I walk in Zoe. No, not Zoe. She said, Zoe. I said, you need to rename that dog. Life the way God has it. Jesus said, I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. Life the way I have life. So if we're having life any other level below the life that Jesus came to give us, we're living beneath our privilege. Now, I'm thankful this morning for a lot of things, I've got to tell you. But first of all, I am thankful that I walk before the Father as if I've never sinned. When I got up this morning and made the coffee, I'm like, I never sinned, I never sinned. I was joyful going to get my coffee. I'm also thankful not for the fact that I in Christ, as if I've never sinned, but in Christ, I realize that if I do mess up, come on somebody, I have an advocate with the Father. Yeah, and if I confess my sin, what will he do? He will forgive me and do what else? Cleanse me of all unrighteousness. So I'm thankful today for Jesus. Hallelujah. You know what else I'm thankful for? I'm thankful that Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father, who daily lives making intercession for me. Look, I'm glad you pray for me, but I tell you right now, I got somebody praying for me. His name is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. The God that flung the stars into their sockets. The God that said, let there be light, and darkness had to flee. That kind of God that parted the waters, he's praying for me. Look at somebody and say, Jesus is praying for you. Yeah, I'm thankful that Jesus is praying for me. I'm thankful today that Jesus is the way into the Father's presence. I'm learning that I don't care if it's to go make coffee in the morning or go to get in my car or go to some business to pay a bill or show up for some appointment. I'm in the presence of God. I just live in his presence. It's awesome. I'm thankful that Jesus made a way into the presence of the living God. So I think you with me ought to thank God right now. Just clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Come on, lift up a shout. Hallelujah. Woo! I am thankful. I've been raised with Christ, man. Come on. The life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God that loves me and gave himself up for me. I'm thankful I've been raised with him to a new level of living. That's why when some people come over and say, hey, did you hear about what so-and-so did? I'm like, hey. That's low life living. I'm above that. You know, if somebody says, hey, why don't you come over here and we'll get smoke something, get a little high tonight? I'm like, hey. That's low life living. I'm above that. You know, the devil comes, he puts thoughts in your mind. Why don't you do this and why don't you do that and this sin and that sin? I'm like, hey, I'm above that. By the way, get under my feet, because I am seated with Christ in heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers. That would be you. You and I need to recognize where we live and where we exist, far above. Come on, say far above. You all up late last night or something or what? You're like, far above. Don't make me come down there. Just want you to know, I'm doing a lot better in my rehab. I got 2 weeks left of that rehab on the shoulder deal. 2 weeks. And I'm a running and a jumping. And I will come back there. I probably won't do much when I get there, but I'll come back there. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, I am thankful today for so much that God has done. But when you abound in thanksgiving, life changes. I said it earlier. You know, you've got problems. How many in here have no problems in your life? One person. Let's go attack him. Look, you're going to have problems in this world. But think about it. If you got 100 problems, you got 1,000,000 blessings. What are you going to focus on? What are you going to think about? As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. You start thinking about your problems, you walk around and go, hi, my name is Problem. My name is Louie. You become a problem. That's why we have so many problems in the church. That's all people think about. So they become what they think about. We need more blessings. Right? How do you become a blessing? You think about the blessing. I've got a message for you in January about the joy of the Lord, counting the blessings of God. I can't hardly wait to do, because we're having a party that Sunday. Oh, yes, we are. We found a song. Tina's got it on her CD for my grandkids. I don't know the name of it, but everybody ought to buy it. It's number 6 on the CD, and it's called Count Your Blessing. And they get the music going. And so you're driving in that car, and a beat is going, and then they come out singing, count your blessing, name them one by one. Woo, count your blessing. I'm like, a boom, that's done. Count your blessing. I'm going to play that song, and we're going to get up and party and thank God, because we are the blessed of the Lord, right? Amen. We are blessed of God. I am blessed. So when you think about the blessing, you become joy-filled. Joy-filled people are dangerous. Oh, yeah, they are. Joy-filled people are dangerous. Okay, I've been reading the Bible for a long time, and I'm not trying to brag or anything. I'm sure there's people that read it more than I do, but I read it through about 3 or 4 times a year. I don't try to read the Bible in a year. I read it through 3 or 4 times in a year. You say, well, do you understand everything you read? No. After all these years, you still don't understand everything? No. Well, then why do you read it? Because someday I will. I read the Bible. But, you know, I've been looking in the Bible for how many times did Jesus say, thank you, Lord? I figure he's my pattern. He's the template. And so if Jesus said thank you to his Father, maybe I ought to pay attention. What do you think? All right, so with me, all you Bible scholars, how many times did Jesus say, recorded in the Bible, thank you? That was exactly my response. I'm like, I don't know. How many times? How many would say, like, there was 5, 10 times, 1 time, 3 times? How many times do you think? Just take a guess. Throw a number out. 50, 12, okay. 100, 3. 3 times. Let's think about where they were. The first one that Jesus said thank you was out on the mount called Beatitudes, or the mount by Galilee, where he delivered his sermon. His disciples came to him and said, Lord, all these people have been here all day and they're hungry. And he said, you feed them. Remember that? And Jesus did what? He fed them. Number one. Number two, it was in the upper room. It was a Passover meal. They were celebrating together right before Jesus was going to die on the cross. And he gave them the bread and he gave them the cup. But he said, Father, I thank you for the cup and I thank you for the bread. That's number two. Can you think about it with me? Where's number three? Now that I've got your memory going. Lazarus. Ding, 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 ding. You win. I don't know. You get something. Somebody give her something. She wins. It was Lazarus. Now remember, Lazarus had been in the tomb 4 days. Jesus comes to the tomb after having a discourse with Mary and Martha. All the mourners are there. They had already given up hope. And Jesus says, Father, I first want to thank you. So let's take a look at these three instances. Would you do that with me? I won't keep you long today, I promise. Okay? Let's do it. Get your Bible out. Let's open up to Matthew chapter 14. And let's go to verse 13. Matthew 14, verse 13. When Jesus heard it, he departed from there by boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the multitudes heard it, they followed him on foot from the cities. Now, I don't have a lot of time to expound on all these scriptures, but I'm just going to point out a couple of important points for us as we read it, okay? Where did Jesus go? He went to what kind of a place? A deserted place. So I don't think it was by happenstance or just by chance, rather, that Jesus went to a place where it was deserted. That's where he went. All of a sudden, because Jesus was there, the multitude showed up. Isn't that what the scripture said? Okay, so the scripture said they all showed up. And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them, and he healed their sick. Now notice something. Out of desertion, out of nothing came compassion. Out of nothing comes healing. Now you got to start seeing this as you're reading the story, because in a deserted place, our interpretation and definition of that is there's nothing there but Jesus. Now hear me. You may be in a place where you feel like you have nothing there but Jesus. But when Jesus was there, compassion flowed and healing came. That's powerful. Now let's continue to read it. It tells us when evening came, or when it was evening, the disciples came to him saying, this is a deserted place. Really? They recognize it's a deserted place. Some of you have recognized the place you're in is deserted. The place that you've been living in is empty. The place you've been living in doesn't have what you need. That's great. I'm glad you came to that conclusion. That's exactly what the disciples did. But they didn't get that Jesus went to a deserted place. And when they came to him, out of the deserted place came compassion and healing. If it was so deserted, where'd healing come from? If it was so empty, where did compassion come from? So as the story unfolds, the disciples say to Jesus, this is a deserted place and the hour is already late. Send the multitudes away that they may go to the villages and buy themselves food. Sensible conclusion. But Jesus said to them, they do not need to go away. He said, they do not need to go away. They do not need to go away to do what? To buy food. If they don't need to go away to buy food, that means there must be food here. But this is a deserted place. Jesus was challenging them to say, you don't have to go over there to get what you need here. He wanted to teach them that it matters not how deserted it has become, how dark it's become, how forsaken it's become. There is something present right where you are. So we look at it. And they said to him, we have only 5 loaves and 2 fish. This is what you call a 2-piece fish dinner. Now, I don't really believe Jesus wanted to multiply fish and bread. I think Jesus wanted to give them filet mignon. But they brought him a 2-piece fish dinner. It's like, all right, give it to me. Because Jesus already had in him what they needed. They needed compassion. Where did compassion come from? It was a deserted place. Where did it come from? From Jesus. They needed healing. Where'd that come from? Corner store? Came from Jesus. They needed to be fed. Did that come from the two-piece fish dinner? Mm-mm. Came from Jesus. Some of us have got to the place in our life, and maybe even you showed up this morning, where you're going to live the rest of your life without something you need because you think that's what you deserve. And that's not true. God is a God that wants to meet your need. So here's the story. It unfolds. Let's look at it again. And he said, bring them to me. And he commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grass. And he took the 5 loaves and 2 fish. Looking up to heaven, he blessed, broke, and gave the loaves to the disciples and gave to the multitudes. Now, it's interesting that when Jesus gave thanks, provision appeared. You and I have a key that'll unlock provision right where you are. And you don't need 2 fish and 5 loaves to see it happen. You don't need a mall where you are. You don't need Auntie so-and-so to leave you her inheritance. You don't need another entitlement from the government. No, no, no. We don't need any of that. We need Jehovah Jireh, who is my provider. And realize that if I can thank God, if I can thank God where I'm at, I know that where I'm at, even though it's a deserted place, even though it's a place that doesn't have what I have to need of, all I've got to do is thank God, and God, Jehovah Jireh, will meet all of my need in Christ Jesus. Somebody shout hallelujah. All right, now you're going to get real churchy on me. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
That was pretty good. That was pretty good. How about this? Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
All right, now you're going to get real radical. You're going to say it with one hand up in the air and got to like wave it and say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Yeah, all right. Give the Lord a clap offering. Come on. Come on. Thank you, Lord. Luke 22, verse 14. In Luke 22 and verse 14, Jesus is instructing his disciples about the Last Supper. And he said in verse 14, the hour had come, he sat down with the 12 apostles, and he said to them, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it's fulfilled in the kingdom of God. He took the cup, gave, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. He got that cup and he said, thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you. Forever. I just want to say thank you. Excuse me, I just have to say thank you. Because when I say thank you, something appears. When you can say thank you, even in the midst of your trial, even in the midst of your lack, even in the midst of your misery, when you can say thank you, the provision of God will show up. Watch, watch. He took the cup and said, thank you. And he gave it to them and he said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I'll not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took the bread and gave thanks and broke it. This is my body which is given for you. For do this in remembrance of me. Key. While in the deserted place, Jesus thanked God the Father for provision. Jesus now is thanking God for presence. For in that broken bread and in that poured out cup is the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. He said, Father, I want to thank you for your presence. When I got up and made coffee this morning, I'm serious. I swear this is the truth. I'm not embellishing it. I walked through my little kitchen and I said, thank you, Jesus, for your presence. And I made that coffee and I said, God, you are good to me. I feel your presence. I feel your presence, Jesus. This is going to be a joy-filled day. I feel your presence, God. I just want to thank you for your presence. We got in the car and we're driving to the first service and we're praying and we're declaring. We want to thank you, God, for what we know you're going to do because you are faithful. Your Bible says you'll never leave me. You'll never forsake me. You'll be with me always. I just want to say thank you for your presence. See, that's why when you're in the doctor's waiting room and they give you a bad report, come on now, you don't let your circumstance turn you. You have to realize something, that the presence of God is in the cup. The presence of God is in the bread. And I just want to say thank you for your presence. So you could take my money, you can take my health, you could take everything I own, you could take my best friend, you could take my house, you could take all my possessions, but hey, devil, you cannot take the very presence of a living God that abides with me. Come on, somebody, I said you can't take the presence of God away from me. I feel Jesus. Can't take it away from me. Yeah, but look at your deserted, abandoned life. No. You don't get it. Because in deserted places is where the provision of God will show up. Out of where? Out of nowhere. God is able to make bread appear and multiply it so that there is more than enough. Watch me now. Watch me now. No, I'm not talking about nay, nay. Don't watch me nay, nay. I'm saying watch me now. Thank you. Thank you. Break it down. Stanky leg. Thank you. Come on, somebody say thank you. Thank you. No. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your provision. Jesus began to give thanks for the bread and the cup that encompassed the spiritual reality of the presence of God. I just didn't go up to church this morning. No. I got up and walked into the very presence of God. The moment I opened up my eyes and regained a conscious state, God was there. He had never left me. He was with me all night long. And as I drove, he's with me. As I come, he's with me. As I go, he's with me. No matter where I am, he'll never leave me nor forsake me. Somebody give thanks to God. Come on. Come on, give thanks to God. Give thanks to God. Hallelujah. I give thanks to you, Lord. Woo. John 11 and verse 40. Every one of these, you could preach an hour, probably, some more. But I just want to tell you, just stop by to tell you happy Thanksgiving. So when you sit around your table There's a lot to be thankful for. But be careful now. Because if you try to define thankfulness by what you have received, or how much is in your account, or your thankfulness might be disfigured. You might be saying, give me another piece of that pumpkin pie. Pass the turkey. Give me some more dressing. I'm thankful. Boy, look at the abundance of this food. But could you say thank you if there was just chicken on the table? No, a chicken. All by itself. Or would you begin to use the mouth that God gave you and me to say thank you for, instead of ruling and reigning, you begin to grumble and complain? No, I'm not going to grumble and complain, because God gave me a mouth to rule and reign. And I know the secret of thanksgiving, because Jesus understood when he was in a deserted place, it didn't matter, because he knew he had a Father who will meet all of his needs according to riches in glory. He is Jehovah Jireh. Jesus knew that when he broke the bread and he passed out the cup, it mattered not that he was going to suffer for the sins of the world, because the cup and the bread, they encompass the spiritual realities of a God that said, I will never leave you. Whew. In verse 40, dialogue and discourse between Martha and Mary. Lord, where have you been? Why didn't you? I am the resurrection and the life. It goes on. And we get to this point in the discourse. And it says, did I not say to you? I heard the Holy Spirit say, tell the church. Didn't I tell them? Didn't I tell them that if they would only believe, they would see the glory of God? If you only believe, you would see the glory of God. Jesus was instructing Martha, and he was instructing Mary, and all of those that have decided that it was past repair. It was irreparable. It was beyond restorative. 4 days dead now. He stinks already. The mourners are in place. We have decided to live the rest of our life without him. He's dead. You cannot sit here this morning and determine that the rest of your life will be without what you need in your life. If you'll only believe, did I not say, if you'll only believe, you will see the glory of God. Look at the next verse. Come on. They took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. I like that. Dead man. Tells me it's over. Jesus comes to the place where it's over. You're fired. You're laid off. I hate you. Get out of my life. It's over. Jesus always comes to the place where men have declared it's over. Oh man, do I like that about him. I'm like, Jesus, I am like your it's over candidate right here. They took away the stone where the dead man was lying, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you. Father, I thank you. Father! I want to thank you. What did he say? He said, Father, I want to thank you that you've heard me. I want to thank you that you've heard me. I want to thank you that you've heard me. Where I've been in my life where they say it's over, I want to thank you that when I got here, you already heard my cry. He said, I just want to thank you. I just want to lay up some thanks up into heaven. I want to release some thanks for what I know you've already heard. And then he says this crazy thing. He said, not that I've said it. I think it's the next verse. And I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. How are they going to believe that the Father sent Jesus when Jesus said, thank you? I know you always hear me, God, but I'm saying thank you not because I don't think you hear me, because I know you always hear me, but I'm saying thank you for these all that are about to have Thanksgiving on Thursday. That they might believe that you sent me. Jesus is setting up this whole situation. Look at the next verse. And when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice. Now, how many know what the glory is? The glory of God. Did I not say, if you believe, you see the glory of God? People say, oh, the glory is here. No, not that stuff. The glory, the manifest presence of God, the materialization, the actualization, the experiential part of who God is. If you believe, you're going to feel that. You're going to see it. You're going to see me in this over situation. If you believe. Thankfulness unlocks greater belief. When I start walking around saying, thank you, Lord, I know what they said, it's over, but God, I just thank you. Because I know you're about to show me not only your provision. Everybody say provision. Provision. That was about half of you. Everybody say provision.
Provision.
All right. By next week, I'll be so healed, I will come back and do damage. Just kidding. Everybody say provision. When you say thank you, you feel presence. Say presence.
Presence.
But when you say thank you in a situation where it looks like it's over, you begin to see the glory of God. Huh. Or may I suggest the power of God. So when you can be thankful, you can experience the provision, the presence, and the power of God. Power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. We sing it, but I gotta stuff you like a turkey. Get it down from your cranium down into your spirit. Come on, come on. I got to get it down in your spirit. What do I got to get down in your spirit? Huh? The power of God that is able to do the impossible. It might be impossible with men, but all. Come on, say it with me. All things are possible with God. Come on, shout it with me. All things are possible with God. One more time, please. Just one more time. All things are possible with God. I just want you to know this morning, I'm with God. And I promise if you're here as a visitor, I will not be this animated next week. I'll try not to. Jesus first gave thanks for natural or supernatural provision. You and I have got to look for supernatural provision every day. God tried to school Israel in the wilderness for 40 years. Get up, boy! Get up, children. Get up, children. Go look again. Because I'm as faithful as I was yesterday. If you go look, you'll see the dew that touched the grass in the morning. And somehow, someway, I don't know how, you don't know how, but I know how, I transformed it into manna. Go get what you need. Now you fill your belly, son. You go to sleep, and when you get up in the morning, I'll still be God. They got up in the morning. What happened? Doggone it, if there wasn't manna out there again. Come on, manna again. It was like, what is this? I don't know, but it's sweet and it's good and it came from heaven. And Jesus said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. If any man eat of me, he shall live again and not die. I'm telling you, church, God has provision for you in the morning. That's why weeping may last for a night, but come on, joy comes in the morning. Why? Because God has been in my night and he's about to greet me in the morning. If you would with me just right now, lift your hands up and close your eyes and say, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come right now. Holy Spirit, come. Come on, invite him into this place. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. Welcome, Holy Spirit. We are in your presence. Fill us with your power. Live inside of me. Come on, welcome, Holy Spirit. I want to welcome you. 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 What do you feel? What do you feel? What do you sense? You sense the presence of God. Why? Because Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. All you have to do is acknowledge me. I am right there alongside of you. I am the paraclete. I am the one that will be your rear guard. Don't tell me. Don't tell me I cannot get in the presence of God no matter where I'm at. You give me 10 seconds. I don't care if it's in a stall in the restroom. And me and Jesus are going to have an encounter. Come on, somebody. You need an encounter with God. Press in. Press in. Call on him. Call upon the name of the Lord in the hour of your desperation. He shall hear your cry. Presence of God. Presence of God. Fire of God. Fall. Fire of God. Fall. Presence of God. Come. Come. Come, Holy Spirit. Fall. Fall in this place. Right now in this room, right now in this place, the power of God is present to heal. That's what the Bible says. The power of the Lord was present to heal. If he raised Lazarus from the dead when it was beyond natural comprehension of anything turning around, God can bring healing to your body this morning. How? Out of the power of the Lord that is present to heal. My prayers right now, cancers go, tumors go, headaches go. Irregular heartbeats go. Spinal deformities go. In Jesus' name, sickness, blindness, deafness of ears go. In Jesus' name, the power of the Lord is present to heal. I thank you, God, that you are healing right now. If you're feeling and sensing the presence of God in your life, for healing, I want you to stand right now. Stand in faith. Just as I just sense the presence of God healing my body right now. Come, Holy Spirit, heal. Come, Holy Spirit, heal. Touch. Touch. Because I want to thank you, God. I want to thank you in the hour of my dark time, my deserted place, where I don't know where it's going to come from. My help comes from the Lord. Come on, cry out. Come on, cry out. Come on, cry out. My help comes from the Lord. Father, in your presence, there is fullness of joy. And at your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. I'm praying, God, now, drive out the sadness. Drive out, oh God, the heaviness. Father, take the ashes and replace it with beauty this morning, God, I pray. Crown your children with your glory. Let your presence fall in this room. I got to have a touch from God. I've been dry. I've been a well that's empty. I feel like I haven't been able to press in. I haven't been able to cry. I haven't been able to weep before the Lord. I just need God to touch me. Let me tell you, one touch from the Master. If you just sense Him touching you, just stand. Just stand. And Father, I believe, God, there's a ram in the thicket. I believe, God, there's a two-piece fish dinner somewhere in here. God, You are about to show Yourself strong to the person in this room who's in desperate need, God, of provision in their life. Father, You're going to show Yourself strong. Boy, if you just sense right now God speaking to you about that, He's going to provide you with that house. He's going to give you that new job. He's going to give you that friend that you so desperately need. He's going to meet your need in the area of your finances. Just right there, you say, God, I'm just thankful. I just want to say thank You. If you feel that, I want you to stand as well. And so, Lord, we're in the presence of God. We're in the provision of God, and we're standing in the power of God. And I'm asking You, Lord, to do a miracle in the lives of those, my friends, in this place right now. Jesus. Jesus. I just want to say thank You for all You've done for me. In Jesus' name. Now, while they're standing, I want you to look around and make contact with someone near you. And I want you to go and pray with them a prayer of faith for the provision, presence, and power of God. Would you do that? Just look around, find somebody. At the same time, some of you may say, you know what, I just sense this overwhelming gratitude in my heart. I just want to posture myself at the altar of the Lord. I want to kneel before the presence of my God. Can I come and worship? Yeah, we're going to open up the altars right now for us to come and just give God thanks with a grateful heart. To give God thanks with a grateful heart. Because He said, let the weak now say He's strong. Let the poor now say He's rich. I just want to say thank You for all You've done, God. I love You, Jesus. I love You, Jesus. I love You, Jesus. I love You, Jesus. Release Your power. Release Your provision. Release Your mighty presence in this room. In the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Thank You. That's a good song. Thank You. Thank You, Father. All that God has done. Oh, I just want to say thank You, Father. Thank You, Lord. You have been good to me, God. Oh, if You could just tell Him there. If You could just take 60 seconds and thank Him for all that He has done. If You could just give Him a praise and give Him honor for His provision and His presence and His power in your life. He deserves it, you know. He deserves it, you know. I want to thank You, Jesus. Your goodness and Your mercy, Your grace. Your grace. Greater than all my sin, Your grace. I want to say thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Nobody like You, Father. Nobody like You, Father. Where would I be without Jesus? Come on. Tell Him. Say, Lord, I don't know where I'd be without You. I don't know what I would do without You. I don't know where I'd go if I didn't have You. I just want to say thank You for all You have done. all that you're doing right now. I just want to say thank you. Jesus, you're wonderful. You're so good to me, God. You're so good to me. You're so good to me, Jesus. Hallelujah. The Bible said, when I think about the Lord, what's that song go? When I think about the Lord, how's it go? How's it go? Can you all know it? Name me, how he raised me, lift me up, and turn me around. When I think about the Lord, how he raised me, saved me. You guys know that one? Fill me up, turn me around. Me up, my feet on the ground. When I think about the Lord. Come on, somebody help me. I don't know it that well. How he raised me. How he raised me, how he filled me up with the Holy Ghost. Well, I don't know.
Uttermost, when I think about the Lord, how he picked me up and turned me around, how he placed my feet.
There you go, there you go.
On solid ground. It makes me want to shout, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. It makes me want to shout, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. When I think about the Lord, how he saved me, how he raised me, how he filled me with the Holy Ghost, how he healed me to the uttermost. When I think about the Lord, how he picked me up and turned me around, how he placed my feet on solid ground.
Come on, sing it.
It makes me want to shout, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. It makes me want to shout, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. It makes me want to shout, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. It makes me want to shout, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise.
It makes me want to shout. Amen. Now, while we're praying, and I don't want anybody to move while you're in the presence of Jesus. If you're here today and your soul is not made right with God through faith in Christ, don't leave here without surrendering your heart to Jesus. You can be saved this morning. And we want to pray with you. It's a simple little thing. So I'm going to ask some altar ministers to come in the front here and just kind of leave the others continuing to worship. But I'm going to count to three in a moment, and I'm going to ask you to raise your hand if you'd like this prayer. We just want to pray, lead you in prayer to receive Christ as your Savior. He'll be your provider. He'll be the presence in your life every moment that you live. And He'll be the power made real and manifest in you. If you'll just receive Him today. With every head bowed, you're saying, Pastor, I need that prayer. Count me in. And if that's you, when I say three, I want you to lift your hand. Nobody looking around. Are you ready? One, two, three. That's it. Lift it up high. One back there. One over there. Thank you. One over there. Thank you. Anybody else? Three. Thank you. You can put your hands down. You're welcome to come forward now. Let us pray for you. Don't leave without this agreement prayer. We don't want anything from you. We just want to give to you our love. That's all we want. Now, church, before you leave, would you do me a favor? I'm going to ask every person to give $1 toward our antivirus program. And what we'll do is $1 is pretty simple, really. And if you can, give two, because there'll probably be somebody that won't give one. And over a period of a month, we will raise a couple $1,000s towards this program. So I'm asking you, would you be so generous, give $1 on the way out in the offering bags? This will go entirely to reaching junior high, middle school students throughout our city, okay? So thank you so much. Hey, live right. Love everybody. Pray hard. No midweek service this week. You enjoy your family and talk about the provision, the power, and the presence of God around the table. I'll be back next Sunday to preach another word. God bless you. We love you.